Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
It's been kind of a week. And I confess to you that I'm really tired, like in that emotionally exhausted kind of way. And it feels weird to feel that way because, you know, today's our anniversary. I want you to know that Beth and I talked about, well, how do we want to celebrate our anniversary? We talked about a nap. That sounds like a great celebration of anniversary. I'd like to, you know, honestly, I try to be careful about how much I talk about me, because you heard me a couple weeks ago. The church is not about whoever stands up front in 20 minutes. The church is about you and what you do. So I try to limit that, but I want to tell you why I'm exhausted. Like, I might take up Vicky and take off my shirt, right? But I might have a seat too, because that's fair. Maybe just my coat. All right, good. Vicky says not my shirt. Okay. This was a holiday week, as you know. You all know it was a holiday week. Okay, good. But this holiday week, our office administrator, Ami, was out of the office. And I got to tell you, that office is just different. Like, she does stuff that nobody knows about except her. She's amazing and capable and smart and wonderful. We missed her this week. You know, and just in the middle of the week, just having the holiday and just sort of messed up my schedule anyway. But then came Tuesday. Any of you see our news piece on Tuesday night? We let off the 6 p.m. news on Channel 10. It was on this morning, too. Yeah, I heard that as well. It was on again this morning. And the piece was about our Wednesday community programs. And it started out with a local neighbor who's become frustrated. He sees people around his house. He sees people around his community, people that he describes as those who he would not want to have in his neighborhood or around his community, and says that the programs that we offer on Wednesday nights are one of the root causes of people experiencing homelessness being in the neighborhood. Thankfully, we were interviewed as well. In fact, it was interesting. I was at home, and Beth called me up and says, can you come down here right now? Because there's a news crew. Oh, yes, I'll be right there. And so, you know, I think the crew did a fine job about putting together what I said. I talked a lot more because it's me. I talked a lot more than what they had time for in the story, but I think they put together at least a good representation of what I said. But part of what that has resulted in has been quite a backlash, particularly on our Facebook page. I don't know if you're Facebook people, if you've been keeping track of some of the pretty negative comments, including some negative comments because we posted the story on our Facebook page, but also some negative reviews about our church, 1 star out of 5 star reviews about our church. And I've been working really hard. Beth has too. Beth's actually been working on Nextdoor, which is a social media site that I'm less active on. But particularly on Facebook, I've been spending a lot of time trying to respond to some of the negative comments. And we're doing okay with that, but man, it's emotionally exhausting. It's emotionally exhausting, and so I'm tired. I'm also tired because yesterday we spent all day at the beach, and that can wear you out. I'm tired because over the course of most of this week, we bought Beth's anniversary present, a new car. Well, a used new car, new to us car. So you understand why I feel exhausted. But I got to tell you, my friends, it keeps coming back to really trying hard to seek a balance in Like, how are we present in our communities? How do we serve the most vulnerable people in our communities while also acknowledging that there are people who live nearby who, regardless of what people might say about perceptions, there are people in our communities who don't feel safe. And that is critically important to acknowledge. It is critically important to understand that people just want to be safe in their communities. They don't want to find trash or other horrible things in their yards and in their driveways and in the library park, and they don't want to find those things in their community. And that's reasonable, and that's good, and that's right. And so it's a lot of work to try to figure out how to balance care for the most vulnerable in our communities and for those who live in the communities but aren't quite as vulnerable. It's a lot of work. I tell you that it culminated emotionally for me yesterday morning, because it turns out that sometime maybe this will help. Thanks, Bill. Could I sit? Sometime Friday night, somebody came by the house and left a couple of postcards on our cars. Not the neighbors' cars. Just ours. Now, they're postcards that I've seen in the neighborhood before. Postcards that say, "Do you want to help the homeless in Pacific Beach?" I hate that nickname, but... And then on the back side it says, "Don't support the churches that are offering meals. There are these other organizations you should support instead." We can have that conversation and we can have that difference of opinion. But I feel singled out. And that's harder for me than I expected. But one of the things I don't feel, is alone. But I don't know how to be a person of faith without opening my eyes and seeing the people who are most marginalized and who are most in need of basic care. But I also don't know how to be a person of faith and not work in collaboration, which is why every single week not only do we host a meal, we host medical and dental and acupuncture clinics. We welcome nonprofit organizations who come and help people sign up for Medi-Cal and CalFresh, help people get access to social services. We have psychologists on site. We host on a regular basis. We host a caseworker from Pacific Beach Street Guardians who this week experienced the success of helping someone get into housing. I can talk about... I can talk about just within the last 2 to 3 months, I've got a list of a half a dozen people who we have helped, not only us, with lots of partnerships, who we have helped to escape homelessness. And I think that that's good and vital work. And my heart breaks because there are people in this community who don't feel safe and who feel so threatened that they'll single somebody out and put a postcard on their car, and only their car in the neighborhood. But as I said, I don't feel alone. And I think that's critically important. And I think that feeds directly into our scripture text today. You know, our scripture text today out of the Gospel of Mark, just before these verses, thank you, Mark, just before these verses from the scripture we're going to read, Jesus is in his hometown. Maybe you know this story. Jesus goes to his hometown, and they're like, who's this guy? He's nobody. He's just a carpenter's son, right? This is Jesus they're talking about, who has taught and performed miracles. Like in the Gospel of Mark, he calls the disciples and he immediately starts doing miracles, right? The word is out about who Jesus is, even though he keeps saying, don't tell anybody, right? In Mark, there's what we call the messianic secret. In the Gospel of Mark, he keeps saying, don't tell anybody, and people are so moved, so inspired, they keep telling people anyway. It's the epitome of living a questionable life. We talked about that before, right? What is it like to live a questionable life? It's the epitome of that. He's living his life in such a way that people notice and people are talking about it. But then he goes to his hometown, and depending on which of the Gospels you read, either he's just sort of ostracized. In one of the Gospels, I think it's Matthew, they try to throw him off a cliff. But it's Mark's version of that particular story that leads immediately into what we're going to read today. And I want you to pay attention about how Jesus, after immediately facing rejection, what he says. So let's hear now from the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter.
Then Jesus traveled through the surrounding villages teaching. He called for the 12 and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no bread, no bags, no money in their belts. He told them to wear sandals and not to put on 2 shirts. He said, whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. If a place doesn't welcome you or listen to you as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should change their hearts and lives. They cast out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them.
I mentioned that I want to talk about, like, what is church? First thing I would say is church is not this building or any building. But the second thing I would say, because very often we'll just say, well, you know, of course it's not the building. It's, you know, gathering together in worship every week. I disagree. I don't think the church is limited to getting together and worshiping every week. I think that getting together and worship every week is important. I would say critical. But it's not the only thing. Do you know why I think it's important that we get together for worship, to come to church every week? I think it's important to acknowledge the God who created us, to celebrate the God who created us, to learn about the God who created us, the God's Son in Jesus the Christ, who we call Messiah, who we sometimes call Redeemer, the Holy Spirit that continues to strengthen and empower us, to come in to worship every week, to celebrate the triune God in that way, to learn about the triune God. I think those are critical elements to our faith, but they are not in and of themselves enough, in my opinion. See, I think that the purpose of getting together for church on a regular basis is to sustain and strengthen ourselves, to learn about God, and also to learn about one another and learn about ourselves. Because church must mean that as we experience those things, then we are sent into our communities to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be the presence of light and hope, to experience the movement of the Spirit and go into the world as that Spirit to do good works. Now, I'm not saying that works are all we need to do. That's why I say that the church is critically important, that coming to worship is critically important. James would say that works without faith is dead. But if we put those things together, if we experience communal worship in this way, if we sustain ourselves and celebrate the God, the triune God who created us, if we are empowered and strengthened, then we are sent into the world. In the same way, it seems to me that Jesus called together the 12 and sent them out. But how did he send them out? He sent them out in pairs. You know how I hear that today? You know what profound way I hear that today? We are sent out to make a difference in our communities, but we're not sent alone. My friends, in the midst of what has felt like an exhausting week for me, I have not felt alone. And so much of that is my beautiful and amazing spouse. And so much of that has been some of the a few of the positive comments, a few of the helpful comments online has been some of the other conversations that I've had with folks face-to-face that has been enriching and nourishing and uplifting and strengthening. But we can still do more. Because there are people in our community who are aching. And we must acknowledge that. We must acknowledge that and see that we can do more. But what does that take, and do we have the tools for that? Well, I want to remind you how Jesus sends the disciples out, and then remind you of something that I said a couple of weeks ago. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, wear sandals, but don't put on two shirts. He said, you already have everything that you need. Can you see in what he said that's a similar thing? You already have what you need. Now, do you remember what I said 2 weeks ago when we had a baptismal font sitting right here? If we have experienced baptism, we don't need certificates on our walls. We don't need ordination status. We don't need, well, we might need Chucks. Or Crocs. Or Crocs. We don't need special shoes. If we have been, as one bishop said, if we have been in the watery grave and emerged, we have everything we need. We have everything we need. We have everything we need to go out into our communities, to make a difference, to be a presence of love, to give somebody a hug, to organize a dinner, to organize a committee, to organize any of the things that we internally need to organize, but also to gather together with a group of people and walk around our neighborhood, talk to the people who are there, to be in prayer for a community. And I want to give you something tangible. Are you ready for something tangible? And this is specific to what we've been talking about this whole time, to this conversation I've been engaging in throughout this week. Beth placed a sign-up sheet on the table while you all weren't looking. It's a sign-up sheet to participate in our Wednesday night meal, and community ministry. I'm really careful not to call it a homeless meal or a meal for the unsheltered, because it's not that. It's a meal available to anybody in this community. But Beth placed a sign-up sheet out there, and I would like to invite you to participate in more ways than perhaps may feel comfortable. And there are two particular things that are on that sign-up sheet. One, come and don't worry about being in the kitchen. Like, sometimes we might need help in the kitchen, but don't let that be your focus. Come and sit down and enjoy a meal and talk to people and treat them like they're human beings. And in doing so, get to know people. Build relationships. Here's the second thing. Come, don't worry about being inside. Don't worry necessarily about being on the property. For some people, being around those who are in sort of the throes of homelessness or sleeping on the streets, sometimes people can be gruff and it can be difficult to be in direct contact with some of those folks. And if you feel intimidated about that, don't worry. Because the other important thing that I think it is possible for us to do, what if we had a few people every Wednesday night who walked around the neighborhood and internally held the community in meditation and prayer? What if we had a few people who were walking around the neighborhood, and when they saw somebody doing something that wasn't okay, called Beth or me and said, hey, I want you to know that this is happening in the community, and we want to help put a stop to that. What would it look like if we had a few people who walked around the community on Wednesday night and saw some trash and picked it up? What would it look like if there were some people who were walking around the community on a Wednesday night and they ran into somebody on the sidewalk? Hey, how are you doing? My name's so-and-so. I'm from the church down the street. How are you doing today? We're just walking around to make sure that this community is a safe place to be. Joe recommends wearing your PBUMC t-shirt. I'm getting some more if you want one. Here's the last thing I want to highlight out of this scripture text that we've been exploring today. They went out. They proclaimed that people should change their hearts and lives. They cast out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them. I think it's fair to say that with the frustration that some folks are experiencing in our community, both people who are sheltered and those who are unsheltered, that there is a possibility for healing. I believe that we have been given all that we need to participate in that healing work. My friends, we're not alone. We can do this together. And so I invite you, my friends, to join me. Amen. Friends, we join now in a time of community prayer, and so I invite you to join me. Holy and gracious God, in this time of worship, we ask that you strengthen and sustain us, that you guide us in the work that you call us to do. We ask that you offer us peace and comfort in those things that challenge us, and that you remind us of the joy that you experience when we celebrate in your love. Holy God, we bring all these prayers to you. We give them to you in the faith and hope that your work has already begun. We lift up these prayers and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by Jesus our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.